Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, you are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we are going to look at some principles of upbringing children so that the audience gets a detailed description of the matter concerning how to raise their children Islamically. And today we have in our studio guest speaker Sister Salma Khalfan, who is an Islamic researcher in the Hawza Ilmiya of Qum. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program, Sister Salma.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I feel very honored to be here, alhamdulillah, answering the people's questions. May Allah accept this small worship of ours.
Inshallah. So in the past few episodes, we've been discussing about how to cultivate the love of worship in our children, and you have mentioned some very interesting points. And I was wondering if you had anything more to say, because it's such an important topic in our lives.
Yes. I think it's a topic that will go on forever as long as our children are living right under our roofs, you know?
Yeah.
That you're concerned about their spiritual welfare, because this world is so limited, you know, we're going to all go and pass away one day. So we want that ultimate abode for our children, that peaceful, tranquil abode that is heaven. And we want not only for ourselves, but for our loved ones as well. So true. We care about this. As true Muslims, we will feel concerned about this, that why they pray so fast. For example, the second step comes when they're praying. We feel why they're praying so fast, why they're pecking their heads, just like those birds who are getting their food, you know?
Yeah.
And why they're doing the sajda so fast. Why don't they recite du'as apart from namaz, if they do recite namaz? So we're concerned of the spirituality. So it's not only prayer we're talking about. We are talking about general spirituality, that we want our children to become lovers of spirituality, lovers of reciting du'a, lovers of reciting, for example, the midnight prayer.
Yeah.
Lovers of reciting, for example, being awake during those great days of Laylatul Qadr. Lovers of fasting, lovers of giving charity, serving people, doing jihad, controlling their nafs. All these things come under the worship, of course, yeah? And that's a complete way of life for them. So we should start with ourselves. So another point is that to enhance the spirituality and love for spirituality and worship for towards our children is that we shouldn't form a negative view of worship.
Yeah.
You know, like mostly negative views are formed that when you're so particular about maybe your cleanliness, or don't touch this. You know, like some women, they go overboard by saying, no, this is very clean, the park and everything. No, you shouldn't touch this. That puts away a child completely. You know, it just, or when they're touching their, for example, the things and taking their things in between the prayer, so the mother gets angry or something. No, that should not be there completely. Or if one thing disappears from the prayer mat, she shouldn't be, you know, angry at the child or something like that. So negative is that in this way as well. As another way is that, for example, sometimes if a child is sick and you tell them that you have to pray on time, so the child is sick, you can't have this energy to pray, then obviously that you should be flexible with the child. Of course, everything is there in the right time and place. You are interested, you are showing it, you are doing the right thing, you are getting up and reciting adhan and ikama and praying joyfully near the child. But the child is sick, poor thing. Why should you force him, even if he has come of age? Let him become better. And then maybe at the part of the hour that he, you know, has a little strength, you can tell him
before
that this
qada.
Is something incumbent for you.
Yeah.
And he will pray. And he'll feel that, look, I got so much time. At that time I was praying, there was no force, there was no telling me even, there was no reminding me even, you know. So all these things, then a child will accept it. So shouldn't give him that negative view of worship, that worship is something, or other things also that inshallah we'll discuss about later.
Inshallah, yes. We're just going to go on a short break and we will be back soon.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back to IRIB English Radio, where we're discussing about child upbringing. And Sister Salma, you have been telling us how we shouldn't, you know, use negative reinforcement when we want to motivate our children towards worship.
Yes.
So another thing, like, which I wanted to add on to what you were saying previously is, due to social media, we see so many, you know, videos. And there was one video in particular where they were showing this mother. She's taking the video herself. And she has a young child who she's teaching Quran. And she's like, you know, say alif, say ba. And then the child is crying because when the child makes a mistake, she slaps the child. And then the child is going on saying, you'll not hit me. Yeah, look, I'm trying, you're trying. And the mother is like, yeah, yeah, I'm not hitting you because you're doing good. But maybe it could look funny to viewers, but I feel like the child looked traumatized. If this is the way the mother thinks that she will get the child to learn the Quran, then she's mistaken, because later on it's going to have a very negative, you know, effect.
At that time even, not only later on.
Yeah.
At that time even he hates it, and when he grows up he will still hate it.
Yeah.
And more so. So it's very right that when we punish, or also when we give this picture of God that he's the punisher of people who don't, you know, like perform there. So we feel, what have we done? Only we have not prayed, for example. We didn't do anything like a grave mistake, you know,
yeah.
Like a lie. For them, these things are more tangible, lying and, you know, doing something bad, stealing. But this is just missing the prayer. So a better way would be that... look at the benefit you will get instead of look at the punishment you will get, especially when they're small.
Yeah.
So never to say that God will punish you. These things should be not used in a vocabulary. Yeah.
They shouldn't do it
time.
Out of fear.
Yeah, not out of fear, but out of love. You can tell them about the benefits of prayer. For example, when, like we discussed earlier, when we are teaching them about the reason behind certain things that we do, that is enough a practice that why Allah has made it incumbent upon us. So Allah just knows it for us, does
yeah.
it for us. So if he punishes, which is an aspect we learn later on when we grow older,
yeah.
then we will realize that it's because he loves us so much that we know we would be stooped so low that he has to punish us.
Yeah, and it's like part of his justice.
Yeah, part of his way to tell you that he loves you so much that you don't know how much unjust you are becoming to yourself.
Yeah.
That now you deserve a punishment because you have thrown yourself so low. So prayer really rectifies a person's each and every aspect of life. So due to that, never form a negative impact on the child. But also when he worships, oh, you worshipped so, for example, you prayed so fast sometimes.
Hmm.
Okay, we should think like that we want it better.
Yeah.
But we should not discourage him.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah, you have prayed. It would be very much better as time goes on that you start realizing what you're saying. Yeah, then you would really taste it. But alhamdulillah, you got a lot of sawab. You know, you're getting out of this. For example, it's written in your book of deeds that you performed it. No qaza on you.
Yeah.
So, you know, children will feel that this is so beautiful that, okay, I'm praying and I'm getting encouragement. And later on, because it's so much a fitrat, an innate nature within everyone, within every Muslim, he'll begin to realize, what am I doing?
Yeah.
How am I doing it? No, I should now step forward.
True, very true. So let's have a short break and inshallah we will continue shortly.
يَا مُعْطِيَ الْخَيْرَاتِ يَا مُعْطِيَ الْخَيْرَاتِ
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, Raise your children to have three features. Love for your Prophet, love for his household, and reciting the Quran.
Welcome back to IRIB English Radio, where the show is Islamic Upbringing. And we have been discussing about how to instill this love of worship in a child and how it's very important that we shouldn't use negative reinforcement.
One of the reasons why this negative view of worship comes about is when a child is, for example, when the parent is praying and the child wants to talk to the parent and the parent tries to, you know, raise the voice loudly in a very stern tone that don't disturb me.
Yeah.
So small child, what will he, you know, or maybe, for example, an elder child of 7, 8, feel that this is when you are shut off all the ways from the world. But if a parent is very, you know, like compassionate towards the child and wants to teach this positive view of worship to the child, he will be patient or he will just maybe give a gesture of the hand to tell the child that, you know, later on we can talk about it in a very good way, then the child will not find it. It's a negative thing, you know.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you see, you know, loud voices being raised that don't disturb me or, you know, don't touch my, for example, my tasbih or my this or my that, whatever that the parent is engaged in worshipping. So no negative view should be, you know, like formed in this way. And we see from the Holy Prophet, he started showing us this way that the Ahlul Bayt, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, when they used to climb on his shoulders, that the Holy Prophet used to prolong his prostration in such a way that people used to feel that some people who are faithless, they used to feel he slept.
Yeah.
And some people used to feel that maybe he got a revelation, you know.
Yeah.
So, but the Holy Prophet, after that, perfectly woke up and he finished his prayer or he started to pray, that he didn't want to make this view, even a little bad negative view to his grandchildren, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. In that age also, these children were so clever and astute.
Yeah.
But it showed that they were even wanting to play, you
yeah,
see.
Definitely.
So the Holy Prophet also could maybe take their arms and tell them that, you know, come out and I want to pray. But he wanted them to be so free and he wanted them to enjoy. So that feeling of enjoyment in the mosque, you know, when you take your children for them to see that platform of learning how to, you know, worship, take them with interest and don't, you know, hush them all about. Like sometimes it's sad thing that we see that, you know, parents who take children, the old ladies in the mosque want to hush the children and let them sit silently. But they don't know when the child moves about and sees all these things, the child's brain is stimulated and feels like, you know, a positive outlook
yeah.
of worship comes.
True.
And when the, for example, the people who are in the mosque smile at the child and show their compassion and love, all the more.
Right.
So we don't know what role we can be playing, you know, that how we act towards our children. So no negative view whatsoever should be placed in front when worship is being performed. Or for example, breaking the fast. Oh, we should just break our fast with hot water, and which is mustahab. So the child will feel, I'm hungry all the day. And then at night, I don't even get my things of interest.
Yeah.
What's the use? Or when you get pocket money, oh, you have to take out all sadaqah, or half of it is better to take out sadaqah. No, I want to buy this. And,
yeah.
You know, it's my, yes, buy whatever you can. But just a penny, a little penny, if you take out, there will be so much barakat. So instilling this worship in him, the interest of worship in him, inshallah, mm-hmm. is through these kind of ways of not giving something negative, you know, view
Very
of the worship.
True. Yes, inshallah. Inshallah that we all learn from this ourselves. I feel like it's very applicable even to ourselves. Thank you so much for your very valuable time and we hope to see you in the next episode. Dear listeners, you have just listened to IRIB English Radio where we had a discussion on child upbringing. If you want to listen to our programs or get more information, you can log on to parstoday.ir/en under the tab COI which is Call of Islam. And if you type in Call of Islam Radio, you can find it on YouTube and other platforms, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.